To finish our series in the book of Romans, which is one third of the book, we're looking at chapters 1 through 5 right now. Next spring, we're going to look at chapters 6 through 11, and then next fall, we'll look at chapters 12 through chapter 16. And so today, we want to continue our series in Romans with a theme, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next Sunday, we're going to start a series called Current Answers from Ancient Sources. We have been some 7 or 8 months into this pandemic, and people are asking questions. And one of the questions that people ask is, where is God? Where is God in all of this? When an earthquake happens and people die, people say, where is God? When there's a tsunami that devastates a nation, people will ask, where is God? When there are fires that have devastated the West Coast, people will ask, where is God? And can I tell you that those are fair questions? People should ask, where is God? As Christians, we are not afraid of hard questions, because we believe there are answers to those questions. And starting next Sunday, 2 weeks from today, next Sunday, Mary and I will be worshiping in the church in which we were married 45 years ago. And our anniversary is next Saturday, and on Sunday, we'll be in that church. And so that's up in New York State. We're taking a week's vacation up in New York State, where we've rented a place on a lake, and then we will be going over to Mountainside Bible Chapel where we were married. So that'll be a special time for us. So in 2 weeks, we'll start a series called Current Answers from Ancient Sources. There are answers, and they come from some very ancient places. In fact, we're going to look at an ancient document that was written 600 years before the birth of Christ that will answer the question, where is God in difficult times? I hope you'll join us for that. Next Sunday, Pastor Dave Clace will be here from Open Door Church in Reading to speak for us. He's bringing some of his own worship team to lead in the worship music. And a number of us are going to be gone, so if you are in town next Sunday, please come and support the ministry here with Pastor Dave Clace. Well, last Sunday, we began looking at Romans chapter 5, and we want to finish this chapter today with a message entitled, It's a Matter of Life and Death. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and it's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what he has told us up to this point in the book of Romans is that we all need the gospel. And he's told us why we need the gospel. And he's told us only the gospel can change our lives. And he's told us how the gospel can change our lives. And he's told us how we can become righteous with God, or how we can receive the righteousness of Jesus. Now, I said to you last Sunday that there would be a test today. And it's a one-question test that you will either pass or fail. Here is the question. When God places the righteousness of Jesus on us, and he takes my sin and he puts it on the account of Jesus, theologically, the term that we use is one word. What is it? You guys are good. Well, you weren't so good last week. You were good today. That is called the imputation of Jesus. The word imputation simply means that God takes the righteousness of Jesus when we come to him in faith and confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. God takes my sin and he imputes it onto Jesus. He puts it on Jesus. He charges it to Jesus' account, and he takes the very righteousness of Jesus, and he imputes it to me. He puts it on my account, even though I am not righteous in my own flesh. I am not sinless. God sees me in the righteousness of Jesus. And so we have seen how that happens. We have seen the importance of faith. We have seen how faith impacts our life. We have seen just how much God loves us. Now in this final section of chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, Paul summarizes what he has said up to this point, and he compares sin and what he calls the gift. Or we could say he compares sin and grace, because grace is the gift. And he begins by talking about sin, because that's the problem. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we need righteousness. And he talks very specifically about how sin came into the human race. And he begins by bringing in Adam, the first man, and then he tells us how God dealt with sin through Jesus. So we're going to look at two men today, the first man, Adam, and then we're going to look at the man, Jesus. There is a comparison in these verses between how Adam affected the human race and how Jesus affected the human race, and it's also a contrast between Adam and Jesus. As John Murray points out in his excellent commentary on Romans, on the one hand, we have Adam, and under Adam, we have sin, which resulted in condemnation, which results in death. And under Jesus, we have righteousness, which results in justification, God declaring the sinner innocent, which results in life. And these two ways are exact opposites of each other. You either have sin or you have righteousness. You either have condemnation or you have justification. You either have death or you have life. Let's begin then in verse 12, where Paul talks about Adam, the channel of sin. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, Paul's primary point in these verses is that sin came into the human race through one man. That man was Adam. And that as a result of sin, we're all without spiritual life, or we are spiritually dead. Now, when Paul says that death spread to all men in verse 12 because all sinned, he is not talking about your individual sin. He is talking about our sin in the person of Adam. If he was talking about our individual sin, that would destroy the comparison that we're going to see with Jesus and righteousness. We get righteousness through one man, Jesus. We have sin through one man, Adam. The comparison on the one hand, this happened through Adam. On the other hand, this happened through Jesus. And so you are not spiritually dead because you sinned. This is important. Each of us sin because we are spiritually dead. Now, let me see if I can use a very simple illustration to help you understand what Paul is saying. Do you remember the duck test? Here's the duck test. If it looks like a duck and swims like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck. The duck test says you can identify someone by observing how they normally act. Why does a duck swim? Because he's a duck. Why does a duck quack? Because he's a duck. Why do sinners sin? Because they're sinners. we are born into sin. We sin because that is our nature. Just like a duck swims because that is his nature. Swimming does not make him a duck. Quacking does not make him a duck. He does those things because that's his nature. Sinners sin because that is their nature. So Paul's reference to our sin, and as a result of our sin, our spiritual death, refers to our sin in Adam. Now the question arises, how did we sin in Adam? And theologians have debated this for centuries, and they have come up with several different suggestions of how we sin in Adam. I'm going to give you three very quickly. If you want to go into further depth with these three, then you come to Haiti with me when I teach on hamartiology and sit in my class, and I'll give it to you. No takers. Okay. One view says we are all somehow physically connected to Adam. We are his descendants. And we, because we are his descendants, inherit something from Adam. And we inherit his sin. Another view says Adam was the representative of the human race. And he stood before God as the representative. We understand this. We send politicians to another country. Our president goes somewhere. He represents our country. What he says, whether you agree with it or not, impacts all of us and puts all of us, when he signs a treaty, for example, we're all bound by that treaty as a nation. Adam was the representative of the human race, and when he sinned, he plunged the entire human race into sin. Another view says that we get from Adam certain characteristics, just like we get physical characteristics from our ancestors, so we get certain spiritual characteristics from Adam. And theologians have argued this point forever. Paul does not explain how sin went from Adam to us. He simply says it. And he tells us that sin entered the human race through one man, Adam. Now, because of that, we all fall under the condemnation of sin. We are without spiritual life. Adam was the channel through which sin came into this world. Now, verses 13 and 14 have caused some confusion among Christians when the apostle says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Now, he's referring to the law of Moses. And he says several things. He says, even before the law of Moses, there was sin in the world. For until the law, sin was in the world. The law is not the channel of sin. Sin was there before the law. He says, secondly, sin is not imputed to us if there is no law. Now, this has caused some confusion among people. Notice what Paul does not say. He does not say that there was ever a time when there was no sin. He simply says that if there is no law against something, then God doesn't charge that to your account. But the fact is, there has always been sin in the world, from Adam to Moses. There has always been a standard that men have violated. And so there is always sin. Verse 14 helps to clear this up. He says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Why was there death from Adam to Moses? Because there was sin from Adam to Moses. And spiritual death even came on those, he says, who did not sin in the same way Adam sinned. Adam sinned by violating God's direct revelation to him. Not everyone who sins sins exactly like Adam. Not everyone has been given a direct revelation by God. And by the way, this was especially true in the Old Testament before they had the completed canon of Scripture, which is God's revelation to us. The main point that Paul is making in verses 13 and 14 is that everyone has sinned. And therefore, at one time in our life, we were all spiritually dead.